Hi, everybody. You've reached Breaking It Down with Brandy,
Camille,
and Katie.
It's our first episode! Woo! So we're breaking down the stereotypes to casting and giving you insight on everyone in front of and behind the camera.
Woohoo! And today, our very first guest is Garrett Schwackhauser.
Nailed it. Achievement.
Garrett has been working with Broad Strokes Productions. You may recognize that production company. They've created projects like Severus Snape and the Marauders, which was a huge viral online hit. They're currently working on The Wizarding War, which is their version of a radio play, if you will. He's also involved in the Story Builders podcast and potentially maybe casting for some upcoming projects.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for being here, Garrett.
Yeah.
So, Garrett,
what's up?
Why don't you talk to us a little bit about how you got to the place that you are in your career right now? Where did you start from, and how did you get to where you are now?
Well, I was born in San Diego, California, and I went to school at Chapman University in Orange County.
Shout out to Chapman!
Yes! I got my BFA in theater performance and graduated in 2012 thinking I knew everything that I needed to know about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
don't
then
we all.
I moved to LA and realized I knew absolutely nothing. So honestly, it was just kind of a lot of hard work and dumb luck, sort of. Mm-hmm. Like, I saw the breakdown for Severus Snape and the Marauders on Actors Access, and I was like, oh, that would be so cool to, like, be in this thing. I wasn't doing anything at the time, and I was at work. I was working at Mendocino Farms. And I was like, you know what? I just want to do all the weird actory things that they say weird actor people do, like talking an accent all day. Like, I'm just going to do all that stuff for
all
this because why not? I've never done that before. So I did. I ended up getting cast in this project that has turned into something amazing. I mean, we've got 4 million views on YouTube. It's been in all these different cons, and I've traveled all over the country talking about
it. It's quite amazing. Give it a plug, Garrett, because it really, everybody out there really should check it out.
Well, it's called Severus Snape and the Marauders. The whole thing has been a plug so far.
I mean, we're
crazy. He does love it.
You want to tell us who you play?
I play James Potter, who's a great guy. You can find it on YouTube.
Thank you.
Check it out. Totally worth it. We appreciate all the support. Yeah, it just sort of happened. I mean, it was, gosh, almost 3 years ago now. And did that. And then the director, Justin Zaghri, wanted to keep working with us, but we weren't quite sure what to do. And so he kind of had pitched this idea of, you know, where would we take the story after this? When we were signing posters at Mick Ignis' house, and he's like, where would we take the story? And someone was like, space! And someone was like, what about Snape's, like, younger brother who, like, doesn't do magic but is, like, super weird? And I was like, I don't know, I'd love to see James, you know, grow up. I'd love to see how him and Lily get together and how they deal with this. And Justin's like, we should talk. So after that, he approached me and he said, hey, I want to actually write, he's like, I want to finish this story, so I want to write a radio play. Because we don't have enough money to make another movie, because Warner Brothers told us not to raise any more money. Get it? So he's like, I want to finish this story in a radio play. So we started pitching ideas back and forth, and I haven't really written anything too much. I write mostly to, like, write my own projects. Like, I wrote something right when I got out of school to film it, but I didn't really write a lot of projects. But with this, he's like, let's sit down. So we started working on it. We ended up with a 13-episode radio play that we're recording right now. You can check it out.
It's awesome.
On Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you find podcasts. It's called The Wizarding War. And it's just been a wild ride. Like, caught up in that. And then we started doing a podcast called Story Builders, which is basically just us writing stories, which is what we're doing for Wizarding War anyways. So,
well, and that actually leads us into our next question with Story Builders. Essentially, if you might be potentially casting in the future, because this is a podcast where we introduce potential casting directors.
Yeah.
What made you want to be a casting director, at least for this particular project that you're working on?
Honestly, don't really want to be a casting director. It's a really hard job.
Yeah.
I hate it. Because being an actor, right, you go in and you're like, I'm right for every single part. Every part that I do, I'm right for.
Hair flip. pick
right.
me.
Right. I could do anything, you know? And it's being on the casting side, it's honestly like who fits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not that like who do I like the most or whatever. It's like who fits this part.
Right. Yeah. And who fits the rest of the cast and who can
who
we
fits
afford?
The story,
it's,
who
there's
fits
a lot,
the
there's
whatever.
A lot goes into it, sure.
I mean, I don't know, maybe it's different when you're like a huge recognizable named person and it's like, we want you to do this because of that. But even those people have to fight, like Robert Downey Jr. had to fight mm-hmm. to be Tony Stark, to convince casting right. that I fit for this project. Because this really is like about fitting it into what they're looking for. And I think, you know, casting The Wizarding War was interesting because it's three of us. It's me, Justin Zaghri, and Mick Ignis. Who are a part of the casting process, and we had to expand our core group of people mm-hmm. into this like larger cast, and it was all audio, so it was like getting people to submit audio, right. and it's also like seeing them in person, and then working with them in person is completely right. different. So it's been a big task. So I guess what got me into it was necessity.
Right. Sure.
So what you were just saying to kind of goes to our next question: what did you realize? Like, watching the people, like, what makes a good audition? What
confidence.
Did you notice? Confidence? Hmm.
I mean, yeah, I think confidence and people just, like, having fun and coming in with ideas. You know, come in and have a good time and show us what you bring to the table. Because we write it, but I have no idea how you're going to perform it. So
right.
seeing something different that makes me go, oh, that's great. Oh, mm-hmm. oh, I like that. Or that hits what I'm looking for. That's mm-hmm. cool. That expounds upon ideas that I've already had. That's really helpful. That's a good audition.
So don't you think that it's exhilarating when you're in a casting session when, because usually people will take the read and you see 9, 10, 11 people doing it the same way, the same way, the same way. And then somebody brings something fresh and different to it. And you're like, yeah, I didn't even think of that when I wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, mm-hmm. that, I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it takes like a no fear thing.
Yeah, and confidence, yeah.
I mean, I think for me as a performer, I was always worried about doing it correctly and being a part of the casting process. It's like there literally is no right answer. The script is still in fluctuation until it's filmed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the characters we're casting are still in fluctuation until the thing is actually recording.
That's a really
so
good point. Mm-hmm.
Come in with ideas. Like the worst thing to see is when you're sitting there and someone comes in to do it right. And you're like, okay,
right.
well, this is everything that's on the page. Great. Thanks.
Because it's fun to make a conversation, too.
It's like, fun. Like, if we see that you're having fun and you're coming and you came in with ideas and you had a good time with it, even if we don't cast you, I'm going to be like, I really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
They had a good time and I really appreciated their performance.
So, Garrett, can you tell when somebody does their homework and when somebody doesn't in that type of voiceover audition? Can you tell when somebody's really put a lot of effort into doing research and kind of creating the character for themselves and somebody that possibly didn't? Is there a difference with voiceover?
Yeah, I think, I mean, in voiceover, it's you have the copy in front of you most of the time. So it's kind of hard to tell, like, line memorization isn't necessarily important in a voiceover audition because you have them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that comes across more in, like, the people who have done their homework, so to speak, the people who are like invested in what they're doing will hit certain things or find certain nuances in the script and can accentuate those. It's
gotcha.
The people who are sort of looking at it and you can kind of see the big like wild-eyed look in their eyes as they're reading their copy and you're like, oh, they are. I'm not sure if they even looked at this before
right.
they came in
gotcha.
Here. So you can kind of tell. But there's also like the flip side, being a performer, there's a way to like overwork yourself and also it's about, you have to be able to handle your nerves and need to have that want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think even if you do all the homework in the world, if you are nervous before you go in and you let that get to you, it can tank any work that you've done. It's,
yeah.
you know, living truthfully in the moment is really difficult and it takes a lot of trust. So, you know.
Well, yeah. that brings me to a really interesting question is, on the flip side of that, or in kind of in line with that, what has been the worst audition or horror story that you have seen? Mistakes that you've made actors come in with during their auditions that you just want to share?
As a fellow
yeah.
actor,
I was
maybe,
say, yeah.
maybe you've been on
I'm
the other side
yeah.
where you've heard somebody screaming or, you know,
yeah.
I don't know, give us the juicy details
yeah.
of somebody that you know, maybe yourself, but
you're
you
like,
know,
don't do that.
Whatever your preference is.
I mean, I've definitely
this.
Made mistakes myself. I think the biggest thing that I work on as an actor in my auditions is not letting my nerves get to me and just having a good time. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that I would love to give to every actor is don't apologize for being in the room. Have fun, and you're there for a reason, so just do it. Because watching playback of actors who are apologizing after their slate is really disheartening, because it's like, they don't want to be there. Mm-hmm. And like, well, now I don't want you to be there. And it just really kind of tanks everything. I mean, the horror stories I've heard of other people, like, oh man, I heard this guy brought a gun on set, like he brought a fake gun into an audition to be a cop, and I was like, that's a terrible idea. That's a terrible idea. Don't do that. That
makes everybody feel unsafe. You hear that? It's a terrible idea. Don't bring a gun.
You know, I mean, I don't care if it's in the script. Like, they will have a gun for you on set. There's going to be six people with guns that are going to watch your gun. Like, I just shot with a gun on set, and someone said, this is a gun, and this is how it doesn't work, and see how it doesn't work? And I was like, you're right. It doesn't work. Great job.
No, for sure.
There's people for that, you know? It's like, don't overburden yourself with props. Like, if you feel what you're wearing puts you in the character and helps you with what you're doing, then wear it. If you want to wear a doctor's coat because you're a doctor, wear a doctor's coat. If you're going in as a tattoo artist, you don't have to bring your entire tattoo kit to come in and do fake tattoos.
Because it's distracting as well. What I've realized too, I was at a casting and someone called for a baby and somebody brought their real child with them. The kid was really cute, but yeah, she brought her like 6-month-old daughter with her, and it was for like a mom. But and we were all talking about it later, and it was distracting. Like, you're looking at this adorable baby more than you're looking at.
Well, you're wondering, like, is this baby gonna throw up? Is she gonna drop this baby? Is this baby gonna poop its pants now?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, what is serving your audition and what's serving the scene that you're doing? Because the scene isn't about I have a real baby in my arms. The scene is about whatever the scene is about. So, yeah.
Like handling it.
Right. So I would say, don't overthink it. Don't apologize for being there. Don't overthink it. Just, you know, make your choices. Know what you're trying to get at. Get in there and have some fun.
Yeah, you basically have answered our next question of mistakes actors make in the audition room. But essentially, like you're saying, don't bring the whole, something that's going to be super distracting. You know, if it's not helping with your audition, don't bring it. You don't need it. You know, you're saying have fun, be confident, make choices. Essentially, don't come in with no choice.
Right, and don't come in with what you think is the right choice.
Okay.
You know, I feel like, I mean, I've done this, I do this sometimes, and I'll thank myself for doing this, but like, I will break down a script for hours and be like, these are all the choices that I want to make. And then I go in there, like, I think these are the choices they're looking for. And then in the middle of my audition, I'm like, looking at these casting directors going, is this what they want to see? Mm-hmm. And that's when I know that I've shot myself in the foot.
You've made the mistake there,
because it's like, no one wants to see that. Mm-mm. People want to see you having fun being a character.
Yeah. That's being what it's human. All about. Like, that's the thing is, we're literally, unless you're playing an alien, we're being people.
Stay connected to your choices.
I haven't gone out for many aliens, so, unfortunately.
But yeah, and I think the one that I didn't notice until I watched a lot of playback was actors apologizing in their slate.
When you say apologizing, like literally saying like, I'm sorry?
No, like saying it with their body language. Like a body language is really interesting, because if you're watching someone's body language and you want to read their body language, take what they're doing and then multiply it in your head by 10. So like if they're looking down a little bit, imagine they're looking at the floor. That's what they actually want to be doing. So at the end of their slate, if you look down at the end of your slate, right at the end, it just, all of the energy just dies. Because it looks like you just want to fold in on yourself.
Right.
It's like, hey, I'm Garrett Schwackhauser.
Hold it.
Because you don't think the camera's on you, right?
Yeah.
You just...
Yeah.
It's these little
for
tiny
things. For those of
you
that can't see what he did, he said his name and then he turned.
And I looked down.
But
honestly, it sounds like such a little thing, but it really does tank it. It's like, I'm out of it.
And that's your intro, so it's
it's showing you. That's the most you'll be, hopefully.
And it's also, redirection isn't a bad thing.
Mm-mm.
I think even, especially working with the radio play, it's like, sometimes we give you redirection just to see something different.
Right.
Redirection's a good thing. I mean, if the casting director doesn't think you're right for the part, they're not going to waste their time giving you redirection. If you've done something right, redirection's a good thing.
And it's also casting directors, we will do it because we want to know that you can take direction.
Right, exactly.
We don't want to be there on the day recording something and give you a direction. Right. We have to spend 30 minutes with you, like, coaxing you into what we want.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, and it's also actors that are like, you know, was that good? Do you want to see something else? Like,
if they do, they'll ask.
It's not, it's not our job to tell you if you're good or not. We are here to cast this project.
Right.
Sure.
Just do what you do best.
And then, oh, this will be fun. If you could cast anything, what would you cast?
Yeah.
I could cast anything?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's see. Anything in the world.
Anything. Upcoming projects, or maybe there was something in the past where you were like, oh, I would have cast this way differently, you know what I mean?
Or if there's a project that you wish you could develop and cast.
Mm-hmm.
Your dream job.
I would... There's so many good ones. I mean, I would have loved to have been involved in Lord of the Rings. Yeah. That was just such a great project. Mm, uh-huh. And that was such an inspiring thing to watch. But personally, if I could cast an Ocarina of Time live-action Zelda movie, I would do that in a heartbeat.
You're such a nerd.
I know everything.
I love it.
I don't know everything about Zelda anymore because I don't have enough money for a Switch, but... Ocarina of Time, I know everything about that game.
Ocarina
of Time. It's a flute.
It's a little thing. I have one. I can play it.
Yeah, you can.
Ocarina.
Yeah. This is why.
Of course you can.
I don't play that game, but...
But, you know, honestly, like, that game was just so fun and so interesting. I mean, that would be really difficult to cast because Link has no lines. But, gosh, it's just such a fun world to be in.
Yeah. But then what a hard character to do. It's not of any lines.
Sure.
You have to...
I'd love to try that.
I mean, that's creative freedom if you do decide. Obviously, it would probably add lines in.
Yeah. I don't know if I would. There's been some really interesting, weird movies.
It's got the little fairy thing to it, right?
Yeah.
She speaks.
Yeah. Navi. Yeah. She speaks way too much.
So I mean,
listen!
That's essentially his voice.
Look out! Yeah. Hey!
Actions speak louder than words.
Yeah.
They do. I would love to see, like, a stoic, you know, movies like Shoot 'Em Up with Clive Owen that are really fun.
Yeah.
I feel like if we took that spin on... You know, Ocarina of Time, that would be a really fun thing to watch.
I thought you were going to say Harry Potter. I'm so shocked that's what you said. I love it.
I mean, I love Harry Potter as well, but Ocarina was my first.
Don't ever say anything bad about Harry Potter.
I won't. Ocarina. I'm so, honestly, I'm very grateful for the Harry Potter community and the fact that the fans are so creative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It really has given us license to just have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like... J.K. Rowling is constantly updating information on Pottermore with her new movies.
She's very involved.
Yeah,
she's cool.
And I love that. And I love that whatever she writes becomes canon. Because it will change everything that we're doing.
Absolutely.
Which is great. Which is also super fun as like a writer.
Settles arguments, which is so great. You're like, see, she said it.
Must be
she
true.
She created it.
Yeah, we had a huge argument about my hair in Severus Snape and the Marauders because it's like slicked back.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't have messy hair. And so we finally found the solution. We're like, well, it's graduation day. And I would have, you know, used a hair potion to make my hair look nice for the graduation day photos.
Right.
We made that decision. We're like, all right, screw you haters. That's the choice we made. And then, like, a couple months later on Pottermore, she released the backstory of Fleamont and Euphemia Potter, James's parents. And Fleamont is the creator of the Sleek Easy hair potion.
It's because of you guys.
Makes his hair slick back and look good.
That's awesome.
And we were like, oh, yes.
It wasn't like the other way.
Just that.
Yeah, we were very. I was like, thank you, J.K.
That is so cool. Speaking of video games and that type of things, what are your hobbies? What kind of things do you like to do? By the way, I'll have my son come down and bring his Switch so you guys can play Zelda together. What kind of things do you like to do?
Does he have 30 hours that we can spend
together? You can have him for the weekend.
He just got that VR thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
For a couple days.
Yeah, tell us, what are your hobbies?
Yes. Virtual reality. Tell us about it.
Well, I was actually just a part of a new video game. It's a Groundhog Day sequel.
Very cool. Plug it.
Yeah, it's called Groundhog Day, Like Father, Like Son. It's going to be a VR game where I play Connors Jr. It's going to be really interesting. There was 10,000 lines I had to record, which was nuts in 6 days.
Wow.
And it was unlike anything I've ever done before. Like, the first day on set, we had no usable footage for the first 4 hours, and I remember sitting there going, I'm going to get fired off of this production.
Right.
And I just was like, okay with it. I was like, you know, I did my best. I showed up. I had fun. I just don't think it's working. Because all of the technology they were using was brand new. All the people that were doing it had never done this before. So they were like, what do we do? There's a lot of talking. There's a lot of different direction.
Right.
I was like, you know what? It's been a wild ride. I'm so happy I got to be here. Great. And then I got an email that night from Ethan, one of the producers, and he was like, great work today. We're working on some kinks. Really appreciate all the hard work. Like, you're doing awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was like, oh, thank God. So it was so fun. The writer, Josh, and he ended up stepping in and basically helping to direct the second half of the recording process. And it was, by the end of it, we were having such a good time. We were writing jokes. We were adding lines to this 10,000 line mark that we'd already made for ourselves. And man, there's going to be so much gameplay. So many weird things. It is going to be
Did you have the little electrodes? Like,
I had,
taped on?
I look like a cyborg. They made basically
Did you ever get a photo?
No, I didn't. I should have got a photo. I really missed an opportunity. But they made like a head rig.
Uh-huh.
It looked like a, oh God, what is that
like
called?
Like Bane mask?
No, you know when you're a kid and you have bad teeth. And
oh, braces. Like a braces?
No, like headgear.
Headgear.
It looked
like
headgear because it came out from my jaw and went like all the way out in front
of me.
That's
so scary.
And they put a GoPro on it looking at my face, which is one of the most unflattering angles in the world.
Yeah.
BT-dubs. And then they, I had this like battery pack in my butt, in my back pocket.
Yeah.
And when I, no, they weren't very kids. My Groundhog Day too. They put batteries in people's butts. But when I plugged in this battery pack, the lights would come on in my face, and it was just like this blinding glow.
That's so cool. Though.
And I couldn't wear my glasses, so the first
day
they're like, "Well, can you take your glasses off?" And I went, "Yeah." No. So I took them off. I'm like, "Okay, let's go through some of the lines." And I was like, I can't.
"Nope."
So they had to like blow up the script so big, and I'm like, "They're like, can you read it?" And I was like, "One word at a time." So that could also have contributed to the, you know, zero usable footage from the first half of the day.
That's awesome. I'm excited to like see it or hear about it more.
Yeah, it was. It's going to be interesting.
When's it
come
out?
No idea.
I'll make sure for all these projects that you guys have heard so far that Garrett Schwackhauser is involved in, I'll include those links in the description for this podcast.
Absolutely. Good idea.
That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. But the trailer just launched, kind of an announcement trailer that PlayStation was a part of.
Oh, cool.
So that's, I don't know what's coming up. They're still working on it.
Do you think they'll be announcing something at E3?
I don't know.
Well, I'll be there. I'll let you know.
You let me know.
Yeah.
You see it, you let
me
know.
Oh, my gosh. Take photos.
Yeah, I will.
E3 is a thing. But they sent me a VR headset. So part of my
free time.
Which is really cool.
Back to the VR headset, right?
So I've been playing some VR games like Resident Evil 7, which is terrifying. On Saturday mornings, I play Dungeons & Dragons from 5 a.m. until 11 a.m.
And what do you and your lovely girlfriend watch on the regular? What kind of movies?
We watched Supernatural, the best show on television.
And
horror films.
And it's 14th season.
It's still on.
Yeah.
Hello.
I meant that. It's still on. That's great.
Yeah. There you go. There's the enthusiasm.
Oh.
We do like horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
We've watched a lot of Schitt's Creek on Netflix.
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, it's
good
so
show.
Fun.
Yeah,
oh, it's so fun.
Daniel Levy does a great job.
So great.
And his whole family is cast in
the show. Yeah, was it Catherine O'Hara?
O'Hara.
Oh, she's so great.
She's
she's the best. Moira's the best.
The Crow movie.
Oh, she's the mom from Home Alone, right?
Yes. Oh, she's great. Yeah.
Oh, right.
She's
fabulous.
Oh.
Yeah. And then I'm a big Tottenham Hotspur soccer fan, so I watch the English Premier League at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Fantastic.
I don't know why my hobbies are all before 8.
That's awesome.
I made a stupid choice. So I love to sleep in.
So, Garrett, we've gotten to the point where we are going to give you some fast fire questions.
Oh, I'm
going to
catch on fire?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are going to put you on fire.
Yeah.
No, fast fire questions.
It's been
and
fun.
It's just three of them. We're each going to shoot one at you. And you don't even need to think too much about it. Just tell us what comes to the top of your mind.
Bananas.
That's good.
Bananas. Are you ready?
Yes.
What are, in the entertainment world, whether it's acting, casting, producing, directing, what are your pet peeves? Go.
Jaded people. People who are jaded and feel like they deserve everything to be given to them and don't have fun.
Got it.
Mm.
Katie.
What is your advice to actors out there in one sentence?
Ooh.
Have fun. This is why you're doing it.
It's a good one.
I had a comma.
Good. Brandy.
And last but not least, what is the best way to contact you for future projects?
Yeah, do you prefer headshots, postcards, mailers, online, in person?
Yeah, how do you want people to contact you?
Honestly,
you know, if you do cast some of those projects with those podcasts.
If we're casting those projects, the podcast is all through via email. It's just easier to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, you can find me at Twitter at GSCHWEI or Instagram with the same handle.
Say it again for us.
G Shui, GSCHWEI.
Excellent.
But yeah, for projects when we're casting, it's like you can shoot us emails. Postcards are always fun. Headshots.
Through Broad Strokes?
Oh, yes. You can also contact Broad Strokes Productions at the Facebook page, Broad Strokes Productions, and the Twitter and Instagram of the same name.
Excellent.
Great.
So, yeah. Well, Garrett, we want to thank you so much.
Thank you.
Is there anything you want to plug out there that you haven't plugged already? Is there anything
I have only been plugging this whole time. So I am all plugged out.
What is an upcoming web series that we heard you recently got cast in?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
And you are the main
There's going to be the Princess Bachelor Edition. In a couple months, I'm going to be the Bachelor. Prince Charming, the Bachelor. Mm. Looking for love in all the wrong places.
In all the wrong kingdoms.
Yes, absolutely.
And where can you find out more info about this particular project?
Oh, yes. You can check them out at Perfectly Serious Productions.
Got it.
So in case you didn't get that, it was Perfectly Serious Productions. Whether you do that on Instagram, Facebook.
That's right.
And they've got an Indiegogo project.
They have an
Kickstarter going right now. Yeah. Until the end of February.
It's going to be a lot of fun. The cast is really cool. We just had a live stream last night. It's going to be the script is really hilarious.
It is.
So I'm very excited to be
a part of
that.
There's a bunch of really talented people involved with that. So go support them if you can, and follow them. So this way you can check it out when it's out.
Yeah. And vote for your favorites.
Yes. Vote for your favorites.
Vote for your favorites. There you go. Well, Garrett, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. Once again, this is Camille.
What's your handle for Instagram?
My handle is @ Camille A. Land, CamilleAland.
And I'm Brandy. It's BrandyYY, Bryant, BryAnt. It's for Instagram.
Ah, and this is Katie Katulik. That Instagram handle is KKOTULAK. That's K Katulik.
Whoa.
All right. So thank you, episode Brandy.
See you next time.
Yeah.
And don't forget to share and subscribe for more great content.